in the Bible. There's so much, you know, this is where we teach and teach and teach, but when you have a specific need, you need to get in the Word and hear from the Spirit of God yourself all that God has provided for you in that area. And this is, we want you to have this union with the Father and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so that you become mature in the sense that it's you and Jesus, and you can get whatever you need from the Word itself by the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. In Acts chapter 3, it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. He really wanted to get this man's attention. This man was a beggar he was used to receiving, but Peter wanted to really get his attention. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. There was an expectancy. They're going to give me money. They're going to give me something. See, there has to be an expectancy. He knew people had money. He was begging. Somebody stopped and said, look at me. And he was expecting to get something. It's important that we expect it, but we have to know that it's there and that somebody's willing to give it. Well, it's all there because of Jesus died on the cross, and the Father is willing. Jesus is willing. They asked him, if you are willing, you can do this and that. He said, I am willing. Be healed. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Peter acted on his faith and what he believed. This man was crippled, I think, for about 40 years or something, and from birth. And so when Peter said, get up and walk, Peter actually took him by the hand and started to lift him up as an act of faith. See, there has to be actions to our faith. Many times when I pray for people, their arm is really stiff or really sore. And I command the pain and the stiffness to leave in Jesus' name. And I'll take that arm and I don't force it. I say, now move your arm a bit. And I'm just holding it and helping it, supporting it. I'm not pushing it. But they lift it a little higher. And I keep praying, they lift it a little higher. I keep praying, they lift it a little higher. If we believe that we're healed, there should be some actions to our faith. Act like you're healed. Act like you've received it. Otherwise, it's like, well, God, if you force it on me, I'll try and lift it. You know, they expect the Holy Spirit to just wing that arm up or something. I don't know. But if you act on your faith, it shows faith without works is dead faith. So faith is alive. It is active. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're hoping for that healing. Now, your faith knows that through Jesus Christ, it has been given to you. And your faith says, I have received. Believe you have received. All right, if I have received, then I need to give some action to that. And so it's the combination of all those things. This man was not saved. He did not understand anything. But Peter had actions to his faith. He grabbed his hand and started to lift him up. Now, you need to be, I want to also remind you that there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit at this time. Jesus or Peter had preached the gospel. 3,000 people just got saved. People were speaking in tongues and all kinds of miracles were happening. People were come and bring the sick and put them on the side of the street just so that Peter's shadow might fall on them. Can you imagine that? Even his shadow was healing people. It was like the woman that had the issue of faith or the issue of blood. And she said, if I can just get through this crowd and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed. And when she touched the hem of his garment, see, that was her contact point. When she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus felt virtue or power leave him, and he said, "Who touched me?" And the apostle said, "Well, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me?" But he knew somebody had touched him in faith because he felt the power leave him. And she was instantly healed, and then she came forward and told her story. And the people had faith. When Jesus or when Peter's shadow falls on me, I will be healed. See, that was their contact point. That was their release point of receiving that. We anoint you with oil. If you want to be anointed with oil, when you anoint you with oil, that oil symbolizes the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you are anointed with that oil, that's your contact point. Or when we, if you just want hands laid on you, when we lay hands on you, we release that by faith, our faith and yours, but you have to be expecting to receive. And your heart has to be in a condition to receive. Prayed for a lady in Serbia one time. It was like praying for a rock. It's like you can just tell spiritually when power is leaving you. When we finish ministering to people and praying for people, it's like we're wiped. We just want to sit down someplace or lay down, go to sleep or whatever, because it takes all that anointing working through you and being released into others. But with this lady, I didn't feel anything. And it was just like praying for a rock, like it was just bouncing back or not even going in. I knew she wasn't receiving. And so I just told her, "I want you to wait here. I'm going to go pray for everybody else, and I'll come back to you." So I prayed for the rest of the people, came back to her, and said, "Do you have unforgiveness in your life?" "Well, yes. I used to attend this church, and I came back for this meeting, but I'm very upset with these people because they hurt me." Didn't matter who was right or wrong. I didn't bother asking that. I just said, "Well, you have to forgive them." She said, "Well, I can't." "What do you mean you can't?" "Because they really hurt me and I'm really upset." I said, "Okay," and I started to walk away. She said, "What about my healing?" I says, "No, you have to keep that sickness until you are ready to forgive them, and then God will heal you." And she went home sick. But see, Jesus said, "Believe in your heart that you have received, and if you have anything against them, forgive them, release them, so that your Heavenly Father can release you." Forgiveness, unforgiveness is one of the greatest things that the devil uses against the Christian church. This is why there's church splits. Bible says do not take offense. So it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. Forgive the person anyways. Doesn't matter whether they ask for forgiveness or not. Forgive them. Because otherwise it's going to affect your heart in a negative way. And with all that unforgiveness, you will not be able to even have the faith to receive. See, as you walk in righteousness and the way Jesus teaches us to walk, your heart is more mature, you're more in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're more in that area where you can get, where your heart can be encouraged by the Scriptures. If you're walking in unforgiveness, you've removed yourself from the grace of God. The Holy Spirit can't even give you a revelation of healing because you've removed yourself from the grace of God. What is really working in your life is demonic spirits oppressing you in your soul, trying to tell you everything against healing so that you can't receive healing. All right? So this is why, be thou my vision. He is the shelter for my soul. If I forgive others and I go to him and repent, my heart is right. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am in a position now to expect healing to come. See, believe in your heart and do not doubt. If you got doubts in your heart, you got to ask yourself, you got to listen to those doubts. What doubts are they? Why are you not expecting? Well, I don't feel worthy. Well, it's not up to you what you feel. It's got nothing to do with your feelings. It got to do what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Faith in him. Faith in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. You got to get yourself out of the equation, because not single person on the face of this earth is worthy of it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. The reason we're worthy is because we are in him. See, we come to him in Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, that represents everything Jesus has done for us. It represents our right standing with God. It represents that our sins are all forgiven, that we are the sons of God. We are the heirs of everything that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. That's what the name of Jesus means. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. You never get healed praying in the name of Bruce. Because Bruce is not Jesus. He didn't die for your sins. Jesus did. Jesus made everything right. This is why he is our vision. This is why we need him 24/7. This is why Paul said that I may be found in Christ, having no righteousness of my own, no self-worth of my own. This is why people get religious. They go to church to get all, they pay their tithes and sing in a choir, all of these things, but they don't have a revelation of God's grace. They don't have a revelation of his righteousness by faith. And then they don't, because everybody gets under law and legalism, no miracles are happening because they've removed themselves from the grace of God because they feel good about themselves because of all the good things that they're doing. And they're not dependent upon Jesus anymore. They're dependent on their knowledge of the scriptures, and they know with their head what Jesus has done, but you got to do this thing with your heart. And with their heart, they're still trying to please God so they'll get to heaven, and they will. They're not bad people, but they're missing out on all of God, what God has for them here and now, and what Jesus has accomplished for them. It's just the way our hearts work. Man, got a lot of that scripture, didn't we? And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Wow, I like that. Instantly. Instantly. These last days when God pours out his spirit, he's already started. You need to keep praying for people like Bob and Sylvia said, because it's not us. Jesus can use anyone at any time to heal the sick. He can use anyone at any time to do a miracle. All he needs is for us to believe what he accomplished on the cross and speak the words. Now, he deals with everybody, and I've seen more miracles done with people that are not saved than the ones that are saved. Because the saved ones get religious and they remove themselves from God's grace without realizing it because their own heart has deceived them. And Jesus isn't their vision. They have their own vision, their business, or whatever it may be. And slowly, slowly, the devil gets in there and gets them away from Jesus. But when we go overseas, this is why evangelists have so many miracles, because they're dealing with the lost. And God shows them his love. Jesus said to Capernaum, the miracles that had done in you would be done in Sodom. Sodom would have repented. He was not holding back anything. If he does that for the unsaved, what should he do for the saved? But Christians get all tangled up in their own emotions and get this all messed up because they don't see it clearly. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Hallelujah. I bet you he was pretty happy, don't you think? Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Well, if you hadn't walked since you were born and all of a sudden you're walking, you're going to praise God too, aren't you? Woo! When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them. Wow. What happened to him? How's that guy walking? He's been begging for 42 years. All of a sudden, boom, he's walking. Well, the beggar held on to Peter and John. He wasn't going to let these guys go. What do you guys got? I want more. All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" Why are you so amazed about this? Why do you stare at us? If by our own power or our own godliness, our own goodness, our own righteousness, we had made this man walk. They were amazed that two men could pray for this man and this would happen. How'd you do this? Where are you getting this power from? Wow, you guys must be, whoa. The God of Abraham, this is what I want you to realize. You get so, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where one person follows this man, another one follows that man, and you know, Benny Hinn doesn't have any power. It's all God's. Thank God that he uses them. Thank God for Benny Hinn. But he has no power. It's God's. Get excited about Jesus. If you're looking to the man, chances are God won't heal you. Because Jesus is the healer, not the man. Jesus has got to be your vision. He's got to be first place. You understand what I'm saying with that? See, it's our heart. We're calling out to God and Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Benny Hinn. God just works through Benny Hinn in powerful ways at times. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. It wasn't our guidance. It wasn't the power that's in us. It was Jesus. Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one, your Messiah, actually, and asked that a murderer be released to you. Whoa. Peter's hitting the nail on the head here, isn't he? You killed the author of life. That got their attention, I bet. You see how God is working here, though, where he uses Peter and John to do this phenomenal miracle. And then everybody gets all excited. And Peter says, this happened because of the name of Jesus. This is the one that you killed because Pilate was ready to let him go. But you said, no, give us Barabbas. And you killed the very author of life. Talk about conviction. But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. Faith in the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. Because Jesus paid the price for all sin, for all mankind, as a man, suffering as a man. Therefore, God gave him the name that's above every name, that to the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every sickness and disease shall bow, every curse shall bow in the name of Jesus. This is why when you come for prayer, we want to know exactly what's wrong, what did the doctor say, because the Lord showed Kathy this years ago. He said, be specific when you pray, because we are going to command something to happen in the name of Jesus, so we have to command accurately. Because what we say will come to pass in the name of Jesus, not because of who we are, because of our faith in Jesus. But see, if you have a sciatic problem and you got pain in your leg, we're praying for that leg to be healed. In Jesus' name. Well, there's nothing wrong with the leg. It's the sciatic nerve. So we have to be specific about how we command, because Jesus is going to do what we say. Because he's going to confirm his word. So it's important to be accurate. That's why we say go to the doctor. Find out what's wrong so we can pray better. There's so much involved with healing. I do a healing seminar. I'll be doing them. I'm going to start doing more seminars because people out there need to be taught, and this stuff is not being taught in churches. But we have to deal with three realms, the spiritual realm, the soul realm, and the physical realm. Is this a spirit that is causing it? What have you been in? Like, if people aren't healed, we know you guys aren't into the occult or anything, but we ask people, when did this start? When did it come in? What happened in your life? Is this hereditary? See, we ask a lot of questions, just like a doctor would. And then we discern, you know, sometimes I put my hand on people where the pain is, and the pain would move. Well, if I got a sore kidney and you put your hand on there, the pain shouldn't move to my liver, should it? If my kidney is something wrong. Well, right away I know it's a spirit, because only a spirit can take the pain and put it in another place, because the spirit is causing the pain. So then I command the spirit to leave in Jesus' name, the spirit of infirmity. But if I'm diligent, I'll find out how that spirit got there. Because the curse causeless does not come. So then I ask questions. How long have you had this? What happened when this? What was going on in your life when this happened? Or is it an emotional problem that is stopping and blocking the healing? Unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. So I got to deal with the spiritual realm, the soul realm, or is it just plain old a physical problem? That you went out into the cold and you didn't wear a coat and you caught a cold, and it's just a plain physical problem because you didn't look after yourself properly. Or it's a hereditary problem been passed down to the family lines. Then we got to break that curse of the generations. Then pray for healing. But they have to repent for their sins of the fathers. See, there's so much involved with healing. If somebody is full of rejection, then they have a negative self-image, and that's in their heart. See, spirit, soul, body, heart, mind, brain, everything is interconnected because God has created us that way. And if they have a lot of rejection, then their heart is sending that negative message throughout their whole being, through the neural system, through the nervous system, through the brain, and it's going through to their immune system. And the immune system is getting confused because the immune system is set up to fight off the negative cells or the cells that are causing the problem. But when it gets confused and it doesn't start work, it doesn't work right because the wrong message is coming from the brain. And so it starts attacking the good cells instead of the bad cells. And so you have a lot of nervous disorders because of rejection. See, that's why the Bible says, I pray that you be in health even as your soul prospers. That you're prosperous and be in health even as your soul prospers. Ted, can we have that? That's not here. I'm going to fire that man. See, the Bible talks about the Spirit of God lives in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he will quicken your mortal body. But that life from your spirit has to go through your heart to get to your body. And so your heart, if it's got, it's not the power of positive thinking, it's knowing who you are in Christ. The power is in Jesus, the power is in your born-again spirit, the power is in the Holy Spirit. They say it's the power of positive thinking. Well, no, they're just tapping into, they got to think God is positive, he's not negative. God doesn't around, oh, I don't feel so good today. You know, I mean, he's full of life. You're full of life because you have the Spirit of God in you. You have his nature in you. And if you think along those, see, the Bible tells us how to think. But if you got a negative self-image, then you don't have a revelation of who you are in Christ or what Jesus did for you. See, all of that is part of healing and to keep your healing. And if you keep doing that, your born-again spirit will bring life, and the Word of God will bring life to your heart, your emotions, your character, which will then allow it to go to your body because you're sending positive messages to your brain. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything that doctors have learned line up with what we teach because of the way God created us. See, the world is starting to figure out how this works, and Christians are still wondering whether God loves them. It's true. They have a better understanding sometimes than the church does. The church is going in circles trying to please God so God will like them. And the world starts thinking positive and gets results more than the Christians do through faith. That's pretty sad, isn't it? But it is. It's true. Anyways, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Even the faith to believe in the name of Jesus comes from Jesus, comes through the new birth. We're quickened and made alive. So Peter says, it's not because of how good I am that this miracle happened. It's not because of how good John and I are that this miracle has happened. We don't have the power inherent within us to heal anyone. This happens by the finger of God through faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit. God controls the power. We have authority in his name because we are in him, but he still controls the power. All right? And so you can't bring healing to anyone because of how good you are, but you can't not bring healing to anyone because of how bad you are. It's got nothing to do with you one way or the other. Because Jesus said, many will come in my name and say, have I not prophesied your name and cast out demons? And I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. See, it's your faith in the name of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with you other than your faith. So get yourself out of the picture. Get yourself out of the equation. God can use anyone at any time to heal anyone or to do a miracle. That's the way he has it set up. The problem is that some people, when God starts using them to do miracles, their pride starts to rise up. And then they think they're really something. And the more power that goes through them, the more people that are healed, they start to think they're really somebody. Now they're really in trouble because pride has deceived them into thinking that healing somebody makes you spiritual. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make you spiritual at all. It's just God working through you. These are foundational things that you must understand, that you work into your heart. When you get that worked in there, then you know the healing doesn't happen because of how good you are, but it does not happen because you're bad either. It's a two-way street here. It's all to do with faith in Jesus. But the bottom line is we still have to grow up. He is our vision. You have been predestined to be changed into the image of his son. This has always been God's plan from eternity past. Wow. From before the foundation of the world, before he even created us, this was his plan. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. And we've experienced in our heart what he's accomplished through Jesus. We've experienced a new birth. We see how faithful God has been to his plan. It still works this way. It always has worked this way. You have to understand how it works and get your thinking lined up with that, and then just go ahead. As you keep doing it, it just becomes a way of life. First time Kathy and I prayed for this, we told you before about this three-year-old boy had leukemia. Was it leukemia? Kathy has better memory about these things than I do. But the doctors were preparing his parents for the death of their child. So he phoned us accidentally. So he was trying to phone Kathy's sisters. He phoned us. We went and prayed for him. We knew what to pray, and so we prayed by faith. And these strong thoughts came on me. What makes you think God would ever use you to heal somebody? I mean, I was still full of rejection. I still had to work my way through a lot of that stuff. And I said, shut up, devil. It's got nothing to do with me. My faith is in Jesus. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is going to heal them because of who he is, not because of who I am. Get lost. But those thoughts would keep coming to me for a while. I just kept praying because I knew it worked. God kept doing miracles. After a while, it had nothing. It was a reality in my life. Like I put it into practice, in spite of what my heart thought, in spite of what I felt, in spite of my negative self-image, my own rejection, I just kept praying for people because I knew it didn't have anything to do with me. So I don't let my emotions run my life. I don't let my emotions control what I do or don't do. They're just emotions. They're there. I have feelings. They were really strong at that time, but I knew what the word said, and I did everything by faith. And God has done so many miracles for us, we forgot more than what we remember. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But it hasn't put pride in our heart because he did it. We still had to grow up. I still had to grow through all of my problems through walking in love. Mm-hmm. All right? The church has no idea how all this stuff works. And they don't even teach healing, never mind how it works. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance as you did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Many people that God uses to do miracles need to repent because they think they're somebody because God used them. Repent and turn back to God. Jesus is your vision. But see, this is when people suffer rejection, they want to be used by God so that they feel important. You see how the heart is so deceptive? Deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it? But when you understand your emotions and your own, you have to understand your own life, your emotional problems, and you have to work through them through walking in love. But you can function in the realm of the Spirit to minister to others in spite of any emotional problems you might have. Just don't think that that makes you spiritual. And God got a great plan set up. Wow. This is why we, with the heart seminar, we give people scriptures to meditate on, who they are in Christ. They're all important. The other problem is that in the body of Christ, especially charismatic circles, they don't understand their own heart, and so they get so worked up in who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ and the authority that they have, they actually think they have the power. And pride starts to set in. And then they're going to build their ministry. Everything gets out of whack, and their motivations are wrong because of their pride. And it becomes entitlement. Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but, or they just say, I'm the righteousness of God. But they forget about the in Christ Jesus part. Because righteousness, the way I say it, righteousness has been accredited to us. We can live in that realm. We can come with full confidence to the throne of grace because Jesus paid for all of our sins. But I still sin, and I still have to grow up so that that sin doesn't keep living in my life. But while I'm doing that, see, Jesus has perfected forever those who are being made holy. I'm still being made holy. I'm still not perfect, so I need Jesus 24/7, that I may be found in him having no righteousness of my own. Some people just get super spiritual and think they've arrived because of who they are in Christ Jesus. Really, that's what happens. And you can't talk, you can't teach like this because, oh, you're being negative. No, I'm not. I'm being truth, being real, because this is how it works. So it's like this is why they get teaching sloppy grace. Well, yeah. While we're under grace, everything's okay. We've arrived. We're going to heaven. We've got all these beautiful things that are going to be there for us. Well, heaven's going to be beautiful to everyone, but not everyone's going to rule and reign with Jesus. Not everyone's going to sit on the throne with Jesus. Only those who overcome. And that talks about character. Remember that the goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul, and you have been predestined to be changed into the image of his son. Everything else will follow after that. You see, God will use me whether I'm holy or not, but he'll reward me if I attain unto holiness. If I don't, he'll still use me, but he won't say, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll say, depart from me, I don't know you. I don't care how many miracles I did through you. You didn't really love me. You did it for yourself, for your own glory, for the glory of man. You already got your reward because you did it to have a name for yourself. You see how it all works? You got to see this thing from God's perspective or you mess it up. It's very easy to mess it up because the heart's deceitfully wicked. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Whew. This is also true in our own personal life. If we haven't got our thinking straight and we've been living wrong, repent. Turn to the Lord so that times of refreshing can come from the Lord. When you turn back to God, and whoa, wow, what have I been missing? If you really, truly, Lord, I am sorry that I haven't been living for you. I've had this wrong. My thinking has been wrong. But now you turn back to him, he will refresh you. It's like the prodigal son coming home. Time for a party. Get out the fatted calf. Gave him back his ring, family ring, which was an authority. In other words, everything that I have now, son, is yours again. This is my son who's alive. The other brother got jealous. See, and he said, you never have a party for me. And the father says, don't you know whatever I have already belongs to you? See, that's the religious guy who got religious and didn't realize everything that he had. He was still trying to please the father, waiting for the father to do something for him. The father had already, he was already my son. It already belongs to you. You could have had a party anytime you wanted. I want to have a party. I was a party animal. I like partying in Jesus. I'm getting excited here. Time for a party. We have a party when we have the healing service. And that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. He's talking about Jesus here. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from among his people. That's when Jesus came and started the church. Hallelujah. But we got to listen. Jesus is the word. This is the word. We got to listen to it. How many know we're all going to die someday? Well, unless Jesus comes first. But I'm not worried about it because I'm just going to leave this ugly body and I'm go to a supernatural body and be with God for eternity. Wow. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. This has always been prophesied by all the prophets of God. See, he goes back to Moses. That's 1,500 years before Jesus came, honey. Approximately. Or Abraham was. That's like 3,500 years. This has been the message. And it hasn't changed. And you are heirs of the prophets, because they were Jews, Israelites, and the promise came through Abraham. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. Oh, covenant. I dare say most Christians don't even understand what a covenant is. Kathy does teaching on blood covenant. Oh, man, it is the most powerful concept known in the universe. It's a blood covenant because it's a life and death covenant, and you're giving all of yourself to the other person. They used to make these blood covenants in the tribes in Africa, and if you broke the covenant, your own family would have to kill you because nobody else would ever make a covenant with you again. It's a blood covenant. Jesus shed his blood. He gave his life for this covenant. Everything God has belongs to you because that's his part of the covenant. That is so powerful, a blood covenant. Man, to be in a blood covenant with the creator of the universe, everything he has belongs to you because Jesus died for you. That's why the Bible says all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms have been given to you. See, we're talking spiritual things here that the world cannot understand, and most Christians don't understand because they've never really sought God enough to understand it. And you are heirs of the prophets and the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, or through your seed, all peoples on earth will be blessed. All peoples on earth will be blessed through your seed, Abraham. You're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to have a son, your seed, who this is going to come through. Abraham could hardly wait. He tried to help God out because he was old. His wife was old. They're 100 years. They're beyond childbearing. So Abraham took Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar, and had a child with her. He's trying to help God out. That's why we have the whole Muslim Islam nation today. Abraham was trying to help God out. Through your offspring, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. And so we know that that blessing, or through your seed, we know that that blessing comes through Jesus Christ, because he died for the whole world. Everybody on the face of the earth can have what Jesus has given to us. Wow. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. So all these promises of ours, but here's the thing, is that it comes through the new birth. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment of our inheritance. In other words, we're going to receive it all, but now we have to live by faith, and we have to do this by faith. But he's given us the new birth, his very nature in us, and if we cannot be bothered to live for him or even try or understand, then we're just living in our own heart. We may be out of our own life, what we know, whatever we've inherited from our parents and whatever has happened to us in life. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but you cannot. It's only through Jesus that you can come to the Father and even understand God's plan and what he's already done for us. And we are partakers of the divine nature. So now I have his life and his nature inside of me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if I know that, the Bible says that, if I don't live that, I'm separating myself from Christ and separating myself from grace. The Bible literally teaches this. And then I'm trying to be good on my own, and I'll never feel good enough because I don't have a revelation of what Jesus has done for me according to righteousness by faith, which is an absolute righteousness. This stuff is not taught in churches. They understand it with their head, but they don't understand grace with their heart. All right, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Is this stirring up your heart? Yes. Are you getting excited?
Yes.
See, this is what I keep saying. You got to go home and read this yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. Your spirit is bearing witness with what I am saying because it's truth, and so your heart is getting excited. But I want you to do this over the next 3 weeks so that when you come to church for the healing service, you are expecting to receive because you see that it belongs to you, and devil, you're not going to take it from me. Because it even says, speaking of the covenant, it says in Hebrews, I don't know, we probably won't have time to get there today. I don't know whether it's chapter 6 or 4, 6 I think, that when God made the covenant with Abraham, having no one greater to swear by, he swore by himself so that we could be greatly encouraged. If God doesn't keep his part of the covenant, he can't be God. I mean that... Can you think of anything more powerful than that? I mean, Bill can swear upon his mother's grave, but that's not as powerful as God not being God. I don't know Bill's mother. She was a good lady, I'm sure, because Bill's a good guy. But swearing upon his mother's grave or God swearing by himself, which one do you think is more powerful? Which one do you have more faith in? God swearing by himself. And he did it so that looking down the road, seeing you and I today, we could be greatly encouraged. Wow. I don't know about you, but I can't help but get happy here. Whoo! All right, where'd I take you? Chapter 3 in Galatians. Let's look at verse 6. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't understand the full plan of God fully, because if he did, he wouldn't have messed around with Hagar, would he? But Abraham was a man of faith. He served God, and he said, "Oh God, how can I make sure that I'm going to be a father of many nations? How can I make sure of this? How can I be sure of this?" This is why God made a covenant with him. They understood covenant principles. And God, creator of the universe, made a covenant with Abraham. He says, "Go up and look at the stars. Your descendants will be greater more than the stars in heaven. Your descendants will be greater than the sands of the seashore. Now I will make this covenant with you." Wow. So he made this covenant with Abraham. He swore by himself. And he swore by himself so that you and I could be greatly encouraged. It gets better. He ain't heard nothing yet. To him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, "All nations will be blessed through you." Hallelujah. This is the gospel message. All nations, every man on the face of this earth, doesn't matter how rotten he is, can be blessed if he has the faith of Abraham to believe in God. Wow. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. But God also said in the Old Testament, "In that day I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." This covenant we are in is an Israeli covenant, but the Gentiles and all of the world can come into it through faith in Jesus Christ. But we have to have the faith of Abraham. But all it is to believe in God. We've already done that part. Just don't get watered down by going in circles by stupidity that is not in the Bible. If I may put it that way. All who rely on observing the law are under curse, for everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law, clearly no one is justified before God by the law. You can't be justified before God by trying to be a good person. You are justified and declared righteous because you have faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. Now you have the power to be a better person. But if you don't receive that or understand that, then you're just on your own, and you better hope you make it to heaven. The Bible talks about making our election, our calling, all the more sure. I have no doubt, not one iota, of where I am going when I die. And when that time comes, I won't give a hoot. Get me out of here. Get me out of this body. Help, I'm trapped in this body. Get me out of this flesh nature. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. So, see, you got to take, our hearts have been trained by law. And we still function that way in our hearts, even though we understand this stuff with our head. It's our heart. We have to reprogram, retrain ourselves, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ted and I were talking before service. What were we saying, Ted, about neutrons and the brain?
Neurons that fire together, wire together.
Neurons. What's a neuron?
It's a neural cell. It's a cell in the brain. And so...
I know. All right.
Okay, think of it this way. As you're learning things and memory is being stored in cells,
yeah,
it creates a pathway in the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the way God has created our brain and our neurological system and our nervous system. So these neurons fire, and if there's enough of them firing because of our feelings and our emotions, then it creates a pathway through our brain, the same as a path in the forest. And then it's a set pathway. So when you're walking through the forest, you're not going to walk through the deep brush and everything. You're going to take the pathway, right? And so this is how habits get formed in us, by doing the same thing over and over. The definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing and nothing changes. Because our brain has been wired that way because of our actions and our emotions. And so we have to practice righteousness. Training in godliness has benefits for this realm and the realm to come. And so we have to be transformed by renewing of our mind. Our brain is wired to keep us doing these same bad habits. But by faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, we can change that. And as our actions start to change along with our faith, then our brain starts to correct itself. We cut new pathways. I'm getting too technical, aren't I? But it's understanding neurology, doctors, psychiatry, everything in line with the Bible, but it lines up with the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your heart doesn't want to change. We have to force it to change. How many of you really like loving your enemies? I don't. But I do it because Jesus said so, and I love him. Because I have the new birth in me. You guys really have no idea how ugly I was inside when I started pastoring. Kathy remembers. I literally had to force myself in my anger, in my hurt, people lying and the devil just attacking us through every negative emotion that people had, twisting and perverting what we said. It was horrendous. And religious people, when I'm teaching the kingdom, they didn't understand it. It was horrendous. But I grew through all of my emotional problems by loving them. I'm not mad at them today. Without them, I couldn't have changed. See, that's the way we have to think. Because if we don't, we're not going to love them. Do not take offense. Keep forgiving. That's how I learned these principles. I lived these things. I've often said, used to say, if you could have seen me before I was saved, and the Lord said, that's going to be your pastor, you would have quit serving God. That's going to be my pastor. But God knew that he could do something with my heart. Kathy and I didn't know it, but God did. God told Kathy she was going to be married to minister. Oh, no, God, when Hank dies, I'm not getting married again. But God can do way above what we can imagine if we will just. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He said that at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where talks about loving your enemy, going the extra mile, turning the other cheek. If you love those that love you, what benefit is it to you? You're just living out of the goodness that you already have, but you can't overcome the evil unless you live sacrificially for others. Overcome evil with good. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is about. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith, not by feelings, by faith. I am righteous by faith, and I'm adjusting my life to become more righteous, that I may become the righteousness of God through that same faith. But all the time, I'm still accepted. This is why Jesus is my high tower. This is why he's the refuge for my soul. Because it's only because of who I am in Christ that I can keep going. If I look at myself, forget it. I still don't feel worthy. I'm still amazed. See, but we have to stay humble. This is why Paul said, I may be found in him having no righteousness of my own. Fully dependent upon Jesus. That puts us all on the same level. Wow. 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 The way God has got this thing set up, the devil doesn't stand a chance. The righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. It's 10 to 12. Can you give me a few more minutes here? Is that all right? I'm going to read now from the Amplified Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. To speak in terms of human relations, brethren, if even a man, Paul's going to explain this on our level where we can understand it, even a man makes a last will and testament, a merely human covenant. No one sets it aside or makes it void or adds to it when once it has been drawn up and signed, ratified, and confirmed. Your last will and testament that you sign before a lawyer and witnesses, when that comes before a judge, that's the way it is. This is what this man wanted before he died. There's his signature. He was of sound mind when he made this. And if your parents left everything to you instead of to you and your brothers and sisters, they cannot change that. That was his will. No government can change that. No lawyer can change that. No judge can change that. It is solid, right? We understand that. Well, this is the way it is with the New Testament. Jesus died so that we could have all these things. No one in the universe can change that. The devil, all he can do is play mind games with you, get you twisted and turned around because of your own emotional hurts, your past, your unworthiness, and make you believe it's not really for you. And all the time it is, because it cannot be changed. Jesus died, and this is his last will and testament before he died. So when people say healing is not for today, the gifts of the Spirit is not for today, speaking in tongues are not for today, they are so arrogant that they are trying to change God's last will and testament before Jesus died. They don't realize they're being arrogant, but they are. Are you smarter than God? The problem is they don't understand a blood covenant. They don't understand everything that Jesus has done. But when they say this is not for today, God can't work with them anymore. They have lost their faith in all that Jesus has accomplished. And they have become prideful in their own knowledge of God, and they have become religious and legalistic. And so God raises up a new group of people. And if they get religious, he'll raise up a drunken pig farmer. Who did Jesus choose for his disciples when he came? Not the religious leaders, the nobodies. Peter, full of rejection. He chose Paul, full of pride. But he had a purpose for each one. And through Jesus, they changed. Let's read on here. Now the promises, the covenants, the agreements were decreed and made to Abraham and his seed, his offspring, his heir. He, God, does not say, and seeds, plural, descendants, heirs, as if referring to many persons, but, and to your seed, your descendant, your heir, obviously referring to one individual who is none other than Christ the Messiah. So when God made the promise to Abraham and to his seed, he made the promise to Abraham and to Christ. Right? There was two covenants made at the same time. One came to Abraham, and the new and the better covenant came through Jesus Christ. But Jesus died for the new and the better covenant. See, the old covenant was only on really on two dimensions. The solical and the physical. But when Jesus paid for our sins, the Holy Spirit was able to come and give us new birth. It was three dimensions. This is my argument. The law which began 430 years after the covenant that God gave to Abraham concerning the coming Messiah, does not and cannot annul the covenant previously established, ratified by God, so as to abolish the promise and make it void. God gave the first covenant to Abraham, and in that covenant was the second covenant also, because it was to Abraham and to his seed. The law cannot annul even the first covenant, never mind the second one, because the promise was given before the covenant, and it was given by the word of God. He swore by himself. See, all of this functions whether you've been a bad person or not. Because now in Christ, you are everything. You are the apple of the Father's eye. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted and to be loved. And the law and our perception of goodness cannot avoid or disannul the promise. Do you see that? This is why I keep saying it is by faith. Get yourself out of the equation. I don't care how you've lived your life, what you've done, or how rotten you've been. It's all changed now in Christ Jesus. I need to be reminded of this. We all do. That's why I'm teaching it. I know you understand it, but am I making a dent today? This is the only way we can think if we want victory. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your heart will mess with you. The devil will mess with you. But God is greater than your heart. Even when your heart condemns you, the Bible says just keep walking in love. It'll set your heart at rest in his presence because he's greater than your heart. Your heart is not the final judge on whether you're accepted or not. It's your faith in the blood of Jesus. That's the final judgment. And if you have faith in the blood of Jesus, all of this falls into place. Because it's about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about Bruce or Bill. It's about Jesus. For if the inheritance of the promise depends on observing the law, in other words, if I'm really good, God will do this for me. I paid my tithe, so God should heal me. No, that's not the way it works. God has blessed us even when we were rotten and caught up in sin before we knew him. Mm-hmm. We received it by grace. Why do we have to figure we got to earn it now? I know I haven't arrived. I still got a long ways to go. Kathy will attest to that. But I can come to God the Father and in faith, as I have arrived because of all that Jesus has done for me. That's how it works. And no matter how much I grow or how many people God heals through me, I have to keep that perspective because he's only healing them because I have faith in Jesus and Jesus is the healer. I can't heal anyone. That keeps me in the proper perspective, and I always need Jesus 24 hours a day. And when my soul is troubled, I go to the Word. Holy Spirit, show me what I need to know here. How do I need to see this? Show me from your perspective. And he's always there for me. This is how this whole relationship works. And when I sin, the first thing I do is run to him, make it right with him. Even though he's forgiven me all of my sins for all time, if I don't go to him and repent and ask for forgiveness, then I'm going to sear my conscience. See, it's a relational thing between me and Jesus, me and the Father, you and the Father, the Holy Spirit. I told Kathy one time, when I get to heaven, I'm sure my guardian angel is really going to have a good talk with me. You are really a pain in the neck, Hank. Kind of look after you all those years till you got saved. Times I kept you from driving over the riverbank, woke you up. You only took out a couple trees, but you didn't go over the riverbank. You were a pain to look after, and I'll apologize to him. For the inheritance of the promise depends on observing the law, like all the false teachers would like you to believe. This is law and legalism. That's false teaching. And Paul, I want to keep teaching in Galatians so you really get this understanding of this concept of grace. And Paul got all over Peter's case, and we'll talk about that next week because of what he did. It no longer depends on the promise. However, God gave it to Abraham as a free gift solely by virtue of his promise. Abraham, if you will follow me and walk upright before me, I promise you, and I swear by myself, God said to him, that through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed, through you and your seed. Wow. But you know, he says the same thing through us. Nations have been blessed through you and I, because we took this message to the nations. And God started revival and movements. But see, God did it. All nations are being blessed through you. You're supporting us. Kathy and I could not do this without you. We all get the same reward. I get the responsibility because of going there and going through everything, because that's what God has called me to do. Your responsibility is to pray when we go and support the ministry so Kathy and I can do this. And you have, God has called you in your own realm of influence to do these same things. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added later. I'm going to skip that because I want to get to the final line here. Let's go to Galatians. Uh, 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I'll just read this. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, have put on, clothed yourself with Christ. There is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is not male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And all the women said, Amen. Amen. And you, and if you belong to Christ, are in him who is Abraham's seed, then you are Abraham's offspring and spiritual heirs according to the promise. The other translation says, then you are Abraham's seed. So 3,000, you are the seed of Abraham because you are in Christ. So 3,500 years ago, God swore by himself to Abraham and to his seed. To Abraham and to you. This is why he did this, so that you could be greatly encouraged. You are in a blood covenant through the blood of Jesus with the creator of the universe, and he swore by himself that he would keep his part of the covenant. And when you come for healing, you're not coming in your own goodness. You're coming in the name of Jesus and the name of the seed and what he's accomplished for you. You see how that puts you in a whole different dimension. The bottom line is we need to live the life so that we benefit from the grace of God. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Do not think this is a common thing. This is why communion has to be so special every time we take it. This is why we have to judge our hearts. Because if we don't, I'm sorry, Leo, I'll quiet. I'm almost done, buddy. We're going to stop here, but you have to get your head around this. You've got to get this in your heart and get your heart around it. And it just... I got so excited this morning when I was reading this stuff. I started reading the rest of Galatians. Now I want to preach the whole thing, and I could go for another 5 hours, but I don't have time. Oh, is this helping you? Is this stirring your heart? It stirred my heart. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your awesome plan. We thank you, Father, that we are the seed of Abraham. So we should not be amazed, Father, that all this power is available to us today. We should not be amazed that through our faith, you do the healing. You fulfill your purposes. We should not be amazed that you want to use us in spite of our own shortcomings, in spite of our own emotional feelings, in spite of our own rejection or unworthiness. We should not be amazed that you will do all these things through us, Father. And so, Father, we just pray that you would stir up our hearts in these next few weeks. Lord, we know that healing is there for it. This belongs to us. But it comes through our personal relationship with you also, that that's part of the process, Father. That our faith is stirred up, Father, that we can come freely through the throne of grace with full confidence because we're coming in the name of Jesus. We're coming in our righteousness that is by faith, not our righteousness that is by works, not our own good deeds, but because of what Jesus did for us, Father. So, Lord, we pray for a powerful move of your Holy Spirit, a strong presence of your Holy Spirit to heal. Lord, we want to continue to serve you, especially in these days where there's so much to be done and this message has to get out more and more. And, Father, even as you use each and every one of us, Father, Lord, we just pray for good health for everyone, even now. But, Lord, stir up our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we have an expectancy to come to you fully in the name of Jesus, freely, and that your grace flows to us freely in our time of need. You give us grace for whatever we need. For it's all by your grace, not because of how much we meditated or how much we did this or how good we are. Our meditation is only to spend time with you and the Holy Spirit so that we can fully appreciate in our hearts the fullness of what you've done for us on the cross. And Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and glory for all that you've done in our lives and all that you're going to do and all the miracles that will happen on the 21st, Father, as you heal our bodies, make us strong, that we can bear fruit in our old age. You've given us all this wisdom, Father, by your Holy Spirit. And Father, the church needs it, never mind the world. And so, Father, open up the doors for us so that we can share this message with our loved ones, our friends, neighbors, people we work with, and the church of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And after the Lord does the miracles, we'll go home, all of us, to our house, and we'll have a barbecue and celebrate. Amen? Amen.
I have an assignment for you. Leave the tables where they are.
Hey.